You're listening to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie on B105 WUBE Cincinnati. Got a question? Call us at 749-B105. In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie.
You'll be doing all right with your Christmas away. But I have a blue Christmas.
Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And it's not necessarily a blue Christmas just yet or a white Christmas just yet. It's sort of a bleak, rainy, cold, slick Christmas so far. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Ernie.
So, yes. Do you have any trouble coming in?
No, not really.
I didn't either.
A little bit of slush.
Yeah. And we also want to recognize all of the public works departments out long hours of the night trying to make sure that the roads are safe. We appreciate everything you do. And thanks for helping everybody get to where they're going. Now, you said you saw a couple of cars on the sides of the road.
Yeah, just as I was approaching the bridge there on 471,
yeah.
a couple cars off to the side. But, you know, I don't know if they had a little too much to drink last night or if it's weather related. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
A little slushy, but it wasn't too bad. I could tell in some areas there was maybe a little bit of buildup. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I thought that I heard on the radio this morning coming in that part of 75 was shut down. Did you hear anything of the sort?
Not on my way. I mean, yeah. It must have been cleared overnight.
Yeah.
But here's it's going to go away, and it's already starting to warm up.
Slush us up, Al.
Yeah.
Give us the sleet.
Temperatures are already climbing up above the freezing mark, so this is all going to go away. Look for high temperature today around 56, and it's all going to be showers for the next several hours. And an overnight low of 32, so what moisture hits the ground is going to freeze. And then we'll see snow tomorrow as a high temperature only climbs up to 31 or so. So keep that in mind for your Sunday adventure. And then, of course, on Monday, some sunshine and a high of only 27.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Right.
That little yo-yo weather forecast. Up and down.
Yeah.
Up and down. Yeah, just the other day. It was a couple of days ago, got up in the morning, and my thermometer outside was right about 3 or 4 degrees above zero.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was cold. It was cold. And all of a sudden, we, you know, go up to the 50s here today.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's tough. I definitely am welcoming the rain. Hopefully, we get some decent precipitation today because that's really of the essence, very important for a lot of our shrubs and trees. And especially our conifers, you know, our evergreens. So going into the winter, we're not far away from the first day of winter.
No.
Officially, because we're right at the tail end of fall. But getting a little bit more added moisture like this going into the winter months is always a plus.
Yeah, and as you mentioned about the yo-yo, we'll see a high temperature of 27. And then the following day, it'll be 41 and then 44. Or a high the next day before we get another little cold snap. So keep that in mind.
You know, I wonder if that might be an opportunity for some people just to sneak in, if at all possible, given that the ground's not too wet or they're going to disturb much as far as getting out on the lawn and just putting down a final application of fertilizer. You know, we were talking about that a week or two ago, and you're just looking for some of these opportunities if you're behind the eight ball, so to speak, to get those things down. But, boy, we're pushing the envelope.
So if you did get some down a couple of weeks ago, you need to still wait for 6 weeks.
Definitely. No, I'm just talking about if you've not done anything or if you're still trying to get that second application down.
Right.
You know, there are some customers that we make phone calls to, like, hey, pick up your fertilizer. And some of those bags are still sitting at the garden center. You know, I know we get busy in our hectic lifestyles, but, you know, John and I were talking about that, you know, getting the opportunity to get out and do some things that you need to do or just cruise around and check out Christmas lights. I was asking John, have you been out and, you know, checking out some of the decorations and so forth? He's like, are you kidding? I work all the time. That's how hectic that it is. You know, I understand that. And I fall victim to the same thing.
Right. It does make it difficult sometimes to separate work from those things that we really enjoy, but it take the time to do it, to get out and cruise around just a little bit. It's fabulous time with your kids to see them ooh and ah and enjoy it so much.
Yeah, you know, I thought about you the other day. I saw one ugly mall Santa. Oh, my. And I kept thinking, he was a little scary looking. Oh, but, the reason why I say this, and Tina was with me, it was funny. He was taking a break, and it was almost like whoever was working with Santa was, escorting him to the, I guess, to the break room or whatever. Yeah. And he frightened a couple kids. Whoa.
It is a tough gig, I'll be honest with you.
I can imagine.
That's one of my pet peeves. I cannot stand when parents or adults will still try to force a child onto Santa's lap. The child is petrified, absolutely and terrorized by this image. Don't keep forcing him on Santa. Take the child away. Calm the child down and wait until the child's curious about Santa and wants to come visit. Sometimes I'd like to step out from behind that Santa suit and just educate that adult.
Or you could just like point your finger and say, "Hey, Santa wants to speak with you for a moment." Sit on my lap.
I will start right away. No. Don't force a child on Santa. You know, if we don't want to petrify it for the rest of its life or.
And as a matter of fact, you did a great job the other day too at our Christmas party. So thank you. You're just great. You're witty with that. I did notice, now I don't know if this was done purposely or not. You didn't have your specs, did you? Someone had to read names to you.
They're not real glasses.
Well, I
had my Santa glasses on, but that's just for decoration.
Can't you get those fixed? Take those over to Mando's Optical and get those prescription ready.
What's really funny is people's handwriting is deplorable. A couple of years ago, I made that joke that, hey, Santa's going to bring you some practice pads so you can practice writing your name to where people can read it. But that's where that comes from.
It's funny. I like what you said, talking about people's handwriting being legible. When we walked up to the door at the party, I don't know what her name was. She's like, "Here, we need you.
Tanya,
you need to fill this out." And I started filling it out and putting my address and everything on it. She goes, "Well, we don't need all that information." Yeah. Well, it's on the paper.
It's on the form.
Yeah, I thought she was going to mail me something.
Yeah. The other thing never, ever, ever, ever do is to tell the child that if you don't talk to Santa, you're not going to get anything.
Ooh.
And I have heard that a couple of times in my Santa travels this year, and I will shout out to the child, "Don't worry, sweetie, Santa will still come visit you," because that's just wrong.
That's a good Santa right there. Like I said the other day, that mall Santa that I ran into or saw, he was a little dingy looking, man. He was like dirty. I'm like, dude, you need to clean up.
And one other hint. Change the baby's diaper before you bring him to Santa.
Oh, that's a must.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Got a lot of ground to cover when we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about some things you need to be prepping your house for. And also, we have a special guest coming up. We'll tell you who it is when we come back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We wish it were snow.
Let it snow.
Instead of freezing rain. And we got a call from one of our listeners who's stuck in traffic westbound 275, the Carroll Cropper Bridge area going, I guess, into Indiana. And it's backed up to Hebron. So if you're traveling or you're planning on traveling on 275 as it dips down the hill there, make other arrangements or pack your patience, because he said he's been stuck in traffic for quite some time. right.
Not a good thing.
It could be an accident, you know, or as you descend down in there and all that moisture, and there's always fog in that area. If that freezes, then it's really dangerous.
You know, and anything, you know, that's bridge-related, too. Yeah. I noticed that on the way in, that a lot of the overpasses, you know, there's a little bit more slush on them than, you know, just a normal part of the roadway. But always use caution, definitely don't. And everyone thinks they're invincible with these four-wheel drive vehicles, and it's like, really?
Yeah.
I see it all the time, and just for what it's worth, take your time.
Slow down. No, you don't get an award for being there before anybody else. You don't get a ribbon, and more than likely you're going to get a ticket when you cause the accident.
use a turn signal, too. I think that's being courteous. Hey, you're asking if you can come over. If that person's in that lane, they own that lane.
Yeah.
The turn signal just says, hey, you know, can I come over?
Right.
I'm not going to get out of the way. I'm coming over.
Yeah. Look out. I'm about to turn.
And I always like the guys, you know, they have these new cars and or gals, and they never use that turn signal. I can guarantee you this. They would have never bought that car, or they would have asked for a discount because it didn't have turn signals.
Yeah.
So use them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my pet peeve. Yep. That's what's bugging me.
Now, is that what's bugging you?
That's what bugs me. It really does.
In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Coming up later on the show, we are welcoming a new guest and a new sponsor.
That we are. We have a couple of friends coming in to join us from the oldest retailer in the city of Cincinnati. We're going to leave it as that because we want to keep you in suspense.
Uh-huh.
They've been around for almost 200 years. And as we progress and get closer to the 8 o'clock hour, we'll give you a little bit more updated information. But for sure to be a wonderful hour segment, because a lot of interesting things that is dear to me, or I value and think about a lot, and I know you do as well. And it involves wood.
Oh, yes.
How's that?
I like it.
You like wood.
Yeah. You got everything decorated at your house and ready to go?
You know, as a matter of fact, Tina has done a wonderful job. We put up two trees this year, and the second tree we put out in our seasonal room, and Ernie, it's one of the old-time fashioned balsams.
Nice.
And we haven't had that tree in the garden center for retail in a number of years, but that is the one that has the gap in between branches.
Mm-hmm.
And you dared to put that thing up years ago, especially when I remember this when I was a youngster. That was the tree we would always get, but it was one that you wouldn't put up any sooner than maybe a couple weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
It has a little tendency to dry out. Very short needle, but a great tree to decorate because you can get the ornaments deep down inside.
Oh, yeah.
And for the life of me, how we did not burn the house down when we would put those old C7s on it is beyond me.
You know, you mentioned our company Christmas party the other day. We had a great time out at Maggiano's, and the food is always spectacular. But I wanted to draw attention to one of the, and several people had decorations, the lighted sweaters and,
mm-hmm.
and the little Christmas ornament necklaces. And did you notice there was one of our sales ladies downstairs who had a necklace made of gigantic Christmas lights, and they were the C7s. And I wanted to point her out to you because I knew how much you'd get a big chuckle of them. Several of them were the little LEDs, but this girl mm-hmm. had those gigantic light bulbs on. And it was great.
That would heat up. You know, if it's the old true C7s, that would definitely heat up.
This was clearly a decoration, but they were modeled after those.
I got it. You know, it was funny. It's funny you say that because I could not look at Jesse Tack with a straight face.
Oh, pimp Jesse.
Oh, it was hilarious. And then he was asking, he chimed in into a serious conversation and dressed as he was. It was like, are you kidding me? It didn't seem right.
Yeah, and you can jump on to B105.com on Amanda and Jesse's page and get a picture of, or see the picture of Jesse dressed as Pimp Daddy Elf Jesse, I guess.
Whatever he could find, he threw it on.
Kind of looked like it.
Yeah. And, you know, Amanda was cute, too. I liked that she had the big bow and the Christmas package.
Yep.
It's always a great time to get together with staff from the radio station. A big tip of the hat to Mike Frederick and everybody that makes that come together. And you did a great job too. I have to say, I enjoy you when you're doing Santa. You're pretty witty.
Fun.
I don't know where you get that from.
Well,
Does that come with
years
experience?
Of being in that costume, you know? But it can be a lot of fun, and I enjoy it, you know, and looking forward to it. My last Santa gig is on Christmas Eve, about 7 o'clock, and then I'm finished.
Well, and you got a big day ahead of you on the 25th. So,
that's right.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you asked me, were we finished up, or how are we coming along with decorations? What about yourself at the Brown household?
Oh, I let Lisa handle all of that, and this is going to be a unique year for us. One of the few times that there were work schedules for all the children, you know, the adults that have grandchildren, our mm-hmm. grandsons, are all working. They're both in interesting occupations, and Travis is a firefighter, Carrie's a nurse. Adam and Julie both work in retail, so they're all busy during that weekend. So we're actually having our Christmas on the 23rd, I believe.
On the 23rd.
Yeah.
At least I like how you planned it out as such.
Yeah. You know, Lisa and I have talked before about that. We've both been down that road where, mm-hmm. as a parent, you are scrambling to make ends meet and doing your best. And God bless all of you for doing it.
And you haven't done any of your Christmas shopping yet, have you?
I never do. Next week is the week I'll go out and get right into it.
Yeah, because I want to talk about some of the, maybe some interesting Christmas gifts for the gardener
okay.
at home.
Great idea.
You know, great stocking stuffers. And we'll talk about that when we come out of the break. Give us a call here at 749-B105. Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. We'll be right back.
In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. One of my all-time favorites. Little Brenda Lee rocking around the Christmas tree. You're doing a little rocking around the Christmas tree?
Always.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Always.
And if you have a gardener and someone who enjoys time out in the flower bed, the landscape bed, we've got some great ideas for you.
Yeah, I think it's important to think about the avid gardener or even the novice gardener. You know, this time of year, some of the great gift ideas that you can pick up at your local garden center or nursery. A lot of us are open year-round. And take the time out to stop by. A lot of beautiful displays. You're going to see some poinsettias and a lot of great ideas as far as gifts are concerned to buy for the gardener. One in particular, I can't say this enough, are hand pruners, like bypass hand pruners.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful gift. And just keep those sharp all the time. Keep them handy. Know where they are. And if you're thinking of this as well, the pruners, this is really important because a lot of times we have a tendency to, you know, just set our pruners or let them lay around somewhere and we forget where they are. A holster for the pruners is a very nice gift.
Yes.
You'll just always will have those on your side. You know, that's a good thing. Have somebody on your side, we'll have your hand pruners right there.
Yeah. Because at our age, once you get down to that level to do a little work, you don't want to get back up till you absolutely, positively have to.
You know, when I'm at the garden center, I agree with you. And I'm, you know, working on the greens, you know, the holiday containers. And I have all these greens on the counter and, you know, my pruners are there. They'll get covered up rather quickly. Or I'm like, where did I put those?
Uh-huh.
So if you just keep them there on your side. They're always readily available.
Right.
Great gift item. Loppers, you know, like hand loppers to do some heavier pruning,
uh-huh.
you know, the type of pruning that your hand pruners won't get. You know, that's also a great gift as well. It's so important when you're pruning your shrubs or trees that you have the right proper tools to do that and getting the nice clean cuts without, like, you know, you're trying to make it happen. It's not good. You just want the right tool for the right situation.
Yeah.
A pruning saw. This year, I made it a point to purchase a new pruning saw. And I can't say this enough. Our good friends down at Bud Herbert Motors, I picked up an awesome pruning saw made by Still. That's a wonderful tool. And I can't say enough. If you're pruning some larger size branches on your trees or shrubs, that is a must have. So those are three things that I can tell you right off the bat that I think are great gift ideas or things to have for the gardener. A gift card. Boy, we all like gift cards. And don't forget to use them and use them through their entirety.
Yes.
A lot of big companies make a lot of money because you leave 30 cents on it or $1.10 on it.
Wow.
And that's just found money out of nowhere, you know, without any purchase of merchandise. So use those gift cards through their entirety and ask the garden center or wherever it is you're buying gift cards, you know, what's involved with this gift card? Some decrement the gift card after so many months, you know, with a fee, or if you don't use them for a year with a fee. I don't like that. I don't think that's fair. I know at Jackson Florist and Garden Center, our gift card, if you receive one, it's valid as long as you have it through its entirety. However, if you lose it, that's one thing. But gift cards to your favorite garden center is a wonderful idea for the avid gardener. Maybe buy several from different places. A lot of gardeners go to different garden centers for whatever reason. So that's always a good one as well, Ernie.
Yeah.
You got any ideas for the gardener?
Yeah, I think you touched base on that about how important it is for the gift card, you know, or plants. Always give them plants. You know, you might want to get some bulbs this year if you want to put some bulbs under the tree.
A little tough. It's a timing thing there. I like the idea.
Yeah.
Because most of the fall bulbs for the upcoming spring season should be in the ground by now. And then you won't see the summer bulbs until the early part of spring. Along that same note, I like, you know, thinking about the plan idea, et cetera. That's where I think that gift card comes into play. Also, you know, I think gardening books make for a wonderful gift. There's a number of different books out there that you can pick up for the,
I love that.
The gardener and the family. One of my favorites, I've talked about it many, many times, is The Well-Tended Perennial Garden. That book is authored by Tracy DeSabato Aust. Who is, you know, we did an interview with her a long time ago. She is the queen of deadheading. She knows so much about perennials, and that book is a wonderful aid to have right there at your fingertips anytime you want to read about maintaining or, you know, knowing what to do and when with perennials. I reference it a lot. I don't remember all those things, and I will thumb through mine often. So that's a great book. Also, you know, succulents right now are the craze, Ernie. Everyone's buying succulents.
Hold that thought, because I want to try to find out a little bit more about that. That's something I'm not really certain about, and I want you to educate me. In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back, I'm going to learn a little bit more about succulents. Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We're talking a little bit about plants and some succulents. We're going to get some information on those right now. But, Tony, we have Donna on the line from Madeira. And, Donna, you got a backed up drain?
Yes, good morning. I have a problem. We live in Madeira, and we've got the most gorgeous cherry blossom. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, I hold myself. I'm going to the Kroger's. We've got the most beautiful cherry blossom in the front yard. Well, last week we went to, we have three bathrooms in the house, and went to flush the toilet, and downstairs, the basement, there was like water coming out. And we didn't know what the problem was. We called MSD. They came out, very nice people, and took a picture and said, we've got roots in our system. So we called the plumber, and after paying him $300, he was able to put a Band-Aid on it and told us that we have to either get rid of the tree in the front, which I don't want to do. It's a gorgeous cherry blossom. Or we have to pay like $950 to have this machine come in and dissolve the roots in the sewage, you know, inside the house. So I was wondering, they said there's a chemical you could buy. I was wondering if you could recommend anything to us that we could use, because he said that, and I heard, you know, the job, if he does, is only going to be good for a year. And we don't want to have to go through this every year.
Yeah,
we paid it out last year, and we thought it was going to, you know, last longer than a year. And $900 every year is a big chunk of change just for this problem.
Yeah, that's...
I was hoping you could help us.
One of the things that just augering it out still leaves the opening for the roots to regrow back into the pipe system, that pipeline. That's why they're suggesting that you that you have to remove the tree because that'll stop the roots from growing in from the tree.
I don't want to remove the tree.
I understand.
Beautiful.
I know.
I
completely understand that. I'm just trying to explain why they're saying this, okay? So what we have to, the most permanent solution is to replace the old ceramic pipe or the old pipe with new PVC, which will prevent roots from growing in there, but that's going to be an expensive measure. There really isn't anything to suggest to you that'll fix it permanently if you don't fix the drain that it exits, but I would get a second opinion about it. So the $300 was just the scope to go through so you could see what the problem is. They took a little video of it.
And yeah, he took a little video with the
camera,
and then he was able to clean up the problem because we couldn't flush. We couldn't even run water to take a shower or anything.
Okay.
So he fixed that problem, but he just put a Band-Aid on it, as my husband calls it.
You know, I have a question. Do you live in an older home?
What do you call older?
Some of the homes, you know, the newer homes, the drain lines today, they're PVC, heavy PVC. Years ago, they were made from, like, clay tile. And a lot of times as homes age and, you know, all the process of the ground movement and so forth over time moves along, there's that element of those clay tiles collapsing. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's an element of water there as your toilets flush or you're, you know, using your sink. And then that's when roots get into those drain lines. Now, there are some products out there, and I've never used them, and I would caution you about using these products and do a little bit of research. I've heard of a product called RootX.
That's what he called it. That's what he said, RootX.
I don't know if that's that effective. Also, I've heard of people using things like copper sulfate crystals or sodium chloride in your drain, but I will caution you about this. I don't know what type of adverse effects may come as a result of using those products with your tree. So, there's ways around repairing those pipes, those drain lines. And if it's collapsed and you have problems, you really need to fix it before all of a sudden you have a major problem inside. And Ernie, do you have, you know, I would have Jason from Herman Services give you a second opinion.
Jason from
Herman Services. I tell you, just having Jason in here in the studio with us, there's some integrity there. And he is as honest as the day is long. And I would definitely have him give you a second opinion. But that is something you're going to battle.
He was on your show a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's why we point that out. And you should contact the other plumber that came to your house. He should have left you a copy of that video, or you should be able to get a copy of that video.
I didn't know that. Okay.
And then that way you can re-examine this issue with a second opinion. And we like to think that everyone is honest and forthright, but there are instances where people will go, I can fix this right now, but really we need to come back and do something different. And that might be the case. And we have to remain open-minded to the case that we may have to replace that tree somehow. But I know that's we just don't want to do that. Tony and I are both on the same page with you there. But you can't, just as you said, you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for the same or better results, so to speak. But write this down and tell Jason that we talked to you.
Okay, Jason at Home and Services, and you said RootX.
Yeah, RootX. Yeah, and I've never used it, and I can't tell you how effective that it is or is not. A lot of times those products are out there, but they really don't do a lot of, you know, a good, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, just do your homework, your due diligence, and take it from there. You know, please follow up with us.
And write this number down.
513-SERVICE.
And it comes out on your phone, 513-407-5177.
407-5177. Okay. 407-5177. I will call him on Monday. I'm sure he's not there today. I thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome. Follow up with us. Let us know how it goes.
I didn't, Yeah, I just don't want to have to get rid of my husband doesn't care about the tree, but I mean,
I know.
That's the one thing I love about it because it's the front yard and we get a lot of compliments on it.
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
I understand that, yeah. But our heart breaks for you because we've both been there.
Well, thank you so much. You guys have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Do say
bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back, we're going to talk about succulents. We'll be right back.
The chimney.
I don't think anybody ever does that better than Eartha Kitt. Mm-hmm. A little Santa baby. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And before we got a chance to talk to Donna, we were going to talk a little bit about succulents. And I always hear people go, oh, that's a beautiful succulent. And I kind of look at the plant, and the first thing I think, because I love to eat, is, oh, it must taste good. I guess we're going to eat those. And that's not what that means. They're big, meaty, fleshy plants. Like aloe? Is aloe one of those?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Very good, Ernie. I'm impressed. But we were talking about, you know, gifts for the gardener, and we were talking about books and so forth. And there are a lot of great succulent books out there that are available. And right now, succulents are the craze.
Yeah.
I kid you not, it's incredible how many succulents we sell. And you can do all kinds of things. You can use them in terrariums. You make up little planters for the desk at work. You name it. They just work out so well.
Are hens and chicks succulents?
They're succulents, yeah. They have the real thick, fleshy leaf. You know, it's kind of like a telltale sign. You know, without me getting into details, you know, you have the echeverias, the chrysulas, which is like the jade plant. Aeonium. So there's so many different types of succulents available. And what's neat, if you're an avid collector, some of these will bloom and very interesting blooms, so to speak. And you don't see them bloom often, but when you do, it's really neat. It's spectacular. You know, like we talked before in the past about lithops, which they look like little small stone rocks that are native to Africa. I've had a few of those in the garden center before, and when they get that little bloom on them, very, very interesting. And they look like stones to disguise themselves in Africa because there's a lack of moisture and because, you know, you have these succulents that contain moisture, animals won't eat them.
Really?
They look like stones, yes. So
it's
really interesting stuff. But we were talking about gifts for the gardener, and we were talking about some gardening books. So there's some really good succulent books out there. Also, a favorite amongst gardeners is the hydrangea. There are so many different varieties of hydrangeas. I would suggest to someone who's interested and who's the aficionado or just loves, you know, hydrangeas. There are so many various types of hydrangeas out there, both types that like sun, types that like shade, part sun, part shade. You know, that would be an interesting book to have, too. Vegetable gardening, which is still going strong, you know, the garden-to-table element, and just bringing the fresh stuff in and consuming it, that's still running strong. So look for vegetable gardening books. Another one that's dear to my heart a lot, you know, getting rid of yard waste, composting, you know, keeping things from going to the landfill. If you can possibly do anything of the sort, that reduces waste in the landfill. And it also, it's something that you can use as a gardener. It's like black gold and put back into the gardening beds.
Yeah, I love the whole compost.
So composting. Yeah, books on composting. That's very interesting, too. Something else that I think makes for a wonderful gift are some magazine subscriptions.
Great idea.
Just to name a couple, I really think highly of, and you know, I even get a subscription to Horticulture magazine. Fine Gardening's another good magazine to subscribe to. And there's two others that are very dear to my heart that are close here to the area, and that is the Ohio Gardener magazine and also the Kentucky Gardener magazine. And I just got a recent issue here of the Ohio Gardener the other day. And just to throw something out there for you, this is just great stuff for winter reading, getting great ideas for the upcoming spring season. And that's when we had the opportunity to do this. You know, you get up early in the morning, a cup of coffee, put your nose in a book or a magazine. And, you know, there's just a lot of interesting things, a lot of new plant varieties that are being introduced. You're going to be up to speed on those kind of things as well. And one thing in particular, we've had Scott Barline in here before from the Cincinnati Zoo. He's one of the horticulturalists at the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden. He writes often in the Ohio Gardening Magazine. And he's a very good writer, by the way. And I will give him a compliment on that. There's no doubt about it. I always like to read his articles when they are published in the Ohio Gardening Magazine. I'm trying to remember the issue. He wrote a funny article about a ginkgo tree in his backyard. So it's definitely a must read. And it's just a lot of interesting information in those magazines. They do as well make for nice gardening gifts for the gardener.
Wow. Love that idea.
I do. Yeah. I really do. You know, we're talking about composting books, maybe a composting tumbler, or you can buy small composting bins. Those will make for nice gifts for the avid gardener. Lots of things out there to choose from. And if you're not quite sure, I'm going to revisit the good old gift card from your favorite gardening center. And you
can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong there. Yeah.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And you were talking about a couple of those magazines that made me think. We did get some correspondence from our friend from the County Extension agent, and I'm going to go get that off my desk and share that with you. And when we come back, we do have a special guest coming up at 8 o'clock.
That we do.
And we're going to get you ready for the holiday season.
And a little hint, if you like fireplaces, that's going to be at the top of the 8 o'clock hour.
And around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause and be right back.
Got a question? Call us at 749-B105. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holiday to you.
Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And we're getting you ready for the holiday season. We were just moments ago, we were talking about great gift ideas for the gardener. I hope you picked up some of those great tips. And also, it's the time of year when we go out to our local garden centers and nurseries and we start picking up the wonderful poinsettia. If that doesn't say Christmas, and if that isn't symbolic enough about the Christmas season, I don't know what is. The poinsettia has been around for a number of years. And as a matter of fact, it was introduced first into the United States in 1825. It goes back that long ago, Ernie.
Wow.
And on that same note, this is so interesting. And that was a U.S. Ambassador to the country of Mexico introduced the poinsettia to us from the country of Mexico. And that was Joel Robert Poinsett.
Huh.
Back in 1825, a long, long, long time ago. And I find that date so interesting because it kind of relates to our guest that's coming in around the 8 o'clock hour. And that is, we have two friends coming in from the oldest retailer in the city of Cincinnati, and that is Bromwell's down on 4th Street in Cincinnati. And they've been around since 1819.
Nice.
Incredible. So, and I know that that date of 1819 with Bromwell's being a part of the Cincinnati area and servicing the Cincinnati area for almost 200 years is incredible. And going back to 1825 when the poinsettia was first introduced, that's a long, long time ago. But really, I'm sure it's a blink of an eye, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
I mean, time just flies by.
Yes, it does.
But if you're out and you're picking up a poinsettia, a couple of things I want you to take notice of and pay close attention to. A lot of times, Ernie, we get poinsettias that are delivered to us by a local florist or somebody brings one over for the holidays as they're visiting. A lot of times you will find that that poinsettia is wrapped with foil. And that's a decorative foil. And what's really important is to make sure that we provide ample drainage to the poinsettia plant itself. And either you can poke a hole in the bottom of the foil and set that pot on a saucer on the table or wherever of your choosing, but make sure that we provide ample drainage for it. If you're not going to poke a hole in the bottom of the foil, just gently pull the foil to the side, you know, away from the pot, lift the pot out of the foil, take it over to the sink, give it a drink, let it drain thoroughly, and then put it back into the foil. So that's another method of watering your poinsettia. Also, when you get the poinsettia, keep it away from a very warm heat source. That's not good at all, nor is a cold, you know, a blast of air type of source good for poinsettias either. So the ideal temperature range for poinsettias is around 65 to 69. And I know a lot of people keep their houses warmer than that.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the ideal temperature range that we like to keep the poinsettias in. And just keep them evenly moist. Don't keep them overly wet. And you will have it for a number of months.
Yeah, it's, everyone loves the way they look by the fireplace, but that's not the best place for them.
Well, it depends. Now when you say that,
I mean, like our place, we have a fire. We've had a fire since November 15th, I think. you know, you've got to keep them watered.
Is it a continuous fire? Has it been a continuous burn?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
When we go to bed, we'll stoke it up, and then there'll be hot coals in there in the morning, and I'll add some more fire to the fireplace when I leave for work, and that way Lisa has it when she wakes up, and you know, just before I came in this morning, I stoked it up and got it roaring again, and then left the house, and she'll get up and sit there and have her coffee right by the fire. It's a fantastic
feeling. I'm telling you, I know you like that fireplace.
I do.
Ours is yours. You burn wood in yours. Ours was initially a wood-burning fireplace, but I never did burn any wood in it. As a matter of fact, I made a last-minute change to convert it to a gas-burning fireplace. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get, you know, it throws off a lot of heat, but... actually, when I have poinsettias on the side of it on the hearth, they're not really affected.
Yeah,
but you are right. You know, everyone's fireplaces are different.
Uh-huh.
So make sure it's not too much heat on it.
And really, that's speaking of the fireplaces. I'm glad Bromwell's is coming in because I've been in the house 30 years now, and I'm at a point in my age where the kids are grown and gone. I don't have the boys around the house to help with the firewood and. God bless Lisa. She does a lot of the hauling and stocking of the fire, of the hearth.
Mm-hmm.
But we're both getting to the point where we might be considering, because we have two fireplaces. There's one downstairs and one upstairs. And we might be getting to the point where it's time to convert those to gas fireplaces.
You know, I've had my fireplace logs, the whole kit. As a matter of fact, sometimes I'm too organized. I have to say that. And it can be a good thing or a bad thing. But I did find my receipt from Bromwell's, and it was back from 1992.
Wow.
And that's how long I had that log set and that gas fireplace set. And I've never had a problem with it. The logs had never, they're ceramic logs. They have never split, nor do they have any cracks. And that's a perfect point in case or a true testament. You get what you pay for.
True.
And back then, that was a lot of money for me. You know, I was a youngster, and I was 24, 25 years ago. But I really like that gas fireplace. It looks real. My friend just bought one months ago from down at Bromwell's. And I'm looking forward to Brent and Todd joining us and talking about what Bromwell's has to offer when it comes to fireplaces. And I know you're going to...
Oh, I've got a lot of questions.
Your ears are going to perk up, I'm sure. So we're looking forward to that interview sometime there in the 8 o'clock hour. But going back to the poinsettia, one of my favorite varieties of the poinsettia is one called Freedom. I love the red in that particular variety. Holds up extremely well. It's been around for a number, you know, for a few years. And you never go wrong. And a lot of times when you're at the garden centers, this is what's really nice. You get the opportunity to look at the tags and some of the poinsettias and see what the varieties truly are. Unlike some chains, they're just thrown out there. They're left on carts. And I don't want to beat those guys up, but they've really beaten the poinsettia market down.
Uh-huh.
And the other day, I saw them all sleeved up on a cart, jammed together. And trust me, that's not a situation that you want to pick up a poinsettia. That's in that situation, right. I should say.
But especially if you're going to give it as a gift.
Yes, if you're going to give it as a gift. You know, and when it comes to the white poinsettia, which I really like the white, I think they're very elegant. White Star is a great one. Great color in it. And you'll also find some whites that have more of a gold hue to that, to the bract itself. very beautiful to say the least, but White Star is one of my favorites. Glitter, I like Ice Crystal. A new one this year that has caught me, it's gotten my attention, and I think it's really cool. It's called Jingle Bell Rocks. Great variegation to the bracts, different various colors. Really cool. Yeah. And one that's really been popular in the last couple of years, Ernie, is called Poinsettia.
Wow.
It's a smaller version of the poinsettia. The bracts, the colors are very striking. You'll see those in like a pink, a light pink, white. The bracts are narrow. They're not wide bracts. When I say that, the color of the bract. The actual bloom is the yellow part inside the center of the bract itself. But the poinsettia has been very, very popular. So if you're purchasing a poinsettia, I want to point this out, last but not least, buy it from a reputable garden center, nursery, florist, because we're going to properly wrap that for you when you leave. The past few days have been very, very cold. When I see people walking out of grocery stores and wherever with poinsettias that are not wrapped, it's the kiss of death. Mm-hmm. And that tells me that somebody does not know what they're doing. So keep that in mind, and the poinsettia is a wonderful plant to have for the holiday season.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And it took me a second to find this. Of course, you know how with the holidays are, your desk gets cluttered with everything because you're hurrying to company Christmas parties and the like. But we got this letter last week. Nope, 2 weeks ago, I guess. And it finally made its way to my desk. It's addressed to Tony and Ernie in and around the house. And it says, you know, dear Tony and Ernie, thanks so much for the opportunity to share a little plant talk with your listeners on B105. It was an awful lot of fun. Never done a radio show before, and you guys made me feel very welcome and put us at ease. Really like the way you drew upon the caller's knowledge and put everything into perspective. She'd love to have the opportunity to come back, and it's from Michelle Stanton, County Extension Agent for Horticulture. And John, there's a handwritten note to you that said, thank you so much for helping out, John. So very kind to get those sorts of things. And the reason I brought that up is first to tell her the door is always open for her to come back.
More than welcome.
And yes. To think about this, too, handwritten notes, thank you notes, or just taking a few moments and thinking of someone and expressing a little care and concern for them goes a long, long way. You don't have to go out and purchase a gift. You don't have to go out and spend money. But if you get yourself a little card or even a piece of paper and write a note to someone just to tell them you're thinking of them, that can be the greatest gift in the world.
I agree. You know, the thank you notes say so much and go mm-hmm. so far. And it's the fact that you took a little time to personally handwrite something, which very few people do today. Uh-huh. And I don't mean that to sound disrespectful or degrading, but a lot of people, you know, when you get something handwritten, you know that somebody took the time out to say, hey, I really appreciate what you did.
Yes.
You know, or thank you. Mm-hmm. And that is so important.
Yep.
And Michelle, thank you, by the way. And you are always more than welcome to come in and share your knowledge that you have there with the Kenton County Extension Office with us anytime.
Yeah. And don't be that guy who waits until you get all the Christmas cards and the notes and go, oh, I need to run out and buy some cards and send them out just to people who sent them to you. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back, we have Denny, our bird man, on the line. We're going to talk to him about the birds. We'll be right back.
Let's get back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie. Call us at 749-B105.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols.
Ah, classic from Nat King Cole. Love that tune. Oddly enough, last Wednesday was National Chestnut Day, which I think is where that opening line comes from. Because back in the day, that was the treat for the holiday season. roasting some chestnuts.
Have you ever had a chestnut?
I have not.
Ooh.
Goodly good?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tony, we have our friend Denny on the line from the Birdman. Hey, Denny.
How are y'all?
All right. How are you all?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good, good, good.
I don't want to talk about birds today. I want to talk about poinsettias.
Ah, well, we can do that, too.
I heard y'all talking about them and stuff like that, and I've had one now for about 3 or 4 years.
Awesome. Tell us what you do with it. How do you how do you treat it throughout the year? Because this is a very interesting approach.
Well, basically, what I do is I set it outside in the spring and summer.
Uh-huh.
And let it, you know, let it go through its course out there, and it seems to do fine. It stays green and everything. And it was brought it in for the winter, like I always do.
Right.
And it's starting to change, you know, colors and stuff now. So I've had one that's done it for 3 or 4 years now. So
now, will you put it in a closet? Some people will do that, and they'll start shortening the daylight hours for it.
No, I just set it out on the back porch.
Okay, and it just it will change naturally on its own without it being forced to do so.
Right.
Awesome.
Right. It's changed colors right now. I've got red bracts on it now and stuff like that. So I just set it out on the back porch. It's got skylights on the back porch and stuff. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I don't, you know, I water it regularly and stuff.
Right.
It does fine.
Where do you place it when it's outside? Morning sun up until the early part of the afternoon and then afternoon shade? What do you do?
Right. Right. That's basically what I do. I set it in a spot where it gets sun and shade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't get the real intense hot afternoon sun or anything like that. And it gets morning sun. It does fine.
I've seen them in Florida, like small shrubs. You know,
yeah, this one's about 2 foot tall now.
Do you prune it back any?
No, I never have. Mm-hmm. I never have. It's gotten about to 2 foot tall, and it stayed right about there. And I basically did was take it out of the pot that it came in and put it in a little bit larger pot, and it's been fine ever since.
Awesome. Uh-huh. Hey, thanks for sharing. Yeah, some people will hold on to a poinsettia for a couple of years or so.
Yeah, like I said, I've had this one about 3 or 4 years now, and it came home from an office. They were going to throw it away. I said, no, I'll take it. So I took it, put it in a different, bigger pot, and it's been fine ever since.
Awesome. Nah, that's great. So are you all ready for the holiday season?
Yes, sir. I'm all done with my Christmas shopping, and I ran out of tape, so I got to get me some more tape so I can finish my wrapping.
Other than that,
I'm all done.
Did you buy any new presents for your feathered friends by chance?
Of course. I've always bought a new feeder or something like that, so... You know, they always make good Christmas gifts and stuff for
that
the gardeners and
everything. That was on my list as well, you know.
And I could highly recommend a rain gauge.
Yeah, that was on my list, too, and I didn't mention it, but a rain gauge, very important. That's a nice gift as well. Great stocking
because,
stuffer.
You know, around here, sometimes you guys down here in Kentucky get more rain than we do here in Ohio.
Yes, we do.
Stuff like that and stuff. And somebody always used to say, I think they put the rain gauge at the official airport underneath a wing or something, you know.
Yeah. Now, who lives at the airport? You know, why? The official rainfall at the airport. Who lives at the airport? That was an Al Sleet saying right there.
Yeah.
Well, so I've always had my own rain gauge and stuff like that, and I know exactly how much rain I get and my area gets and stuff, so.
You know, great idea.
Good investment.
You know, something else I think is a great investment is an outdoor thermometer. You know, because we have, you know, all of us have our own little microclimates around our houses, and
right.
having an outdoor thermometer, I think, is a huge benefit. Just to, you know, I peered out at mine the other morning, and we were down to 3 degrees.
Yeah, I got what they call a little weather station.
Oh, you're one of those fancy guys, like little
temperature, you know, a thermostat, and it's got one of those little wind speed things on top, you know, for decoration and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you would strike me as being that sophisticated kind of guy with all the gadgetry stuff. I'm looking at that old mercury, you know, inside the thermometer where it is. But, that's a good gift as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, another good gift I like is yard art.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, you know, we've sold more metal yard art this holiday season than ever before. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, somebody bought these huge, remember those big metal roosters, Ernie, that we had?
Yeah, yeah.
It was comical. Somebody bought two of those.
Nice.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yard art is hot.
Yeah, I like the things that, what they call the wind spinners and things like that, and the wind chimes and stuff like that, so.
Absolutely. You know, speaking of wind chimes, that's another great gift. As a matter of fact, are you familiar with the buoy bells?
Yes.
A great, interesting product. You know, instead of your traditional wind chime, Ernie, these are buoy bells, and they are tuned to sound just like the buoys offshore, like at various lighthouses and so forth, up along the coast of Maine and down through the eastern coast. They sound real. So you can get, like, Kenny Bunkport. You can get Bar Harbor. You can get a number of different buoy bells. Those are great gifts as well.
Very cool.
Yeah, I've heard of them and stuff before. I've seen them before, but I've never bought any myself.
So. Well, there's one called Bass, and it's the Bass Lighthouse, and it sounds just like that buoy does right off the shore. And I can attest to that. Well, I was right there along that rocky shoreline trying to get a good picture and hoping I don't fall. But, yeah, really cool.
I heard y'all talking about the poinsettias and stuff like that, and I figured I'd let you know about mine.
Jenny, thank you for sharing, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you again next year.
Sounds good.
Have a good.
You too. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And always a great movie, White Christmas. And that scene where they open the back doors and it's finally snowing at the ski lodge kind of played out at the Marine Corps Toys for Tots show that B105 put together. Christine and a couple of other country artists were there, and they asked me to dress up as Santa and help present the check. And I came out of the dressing room to walk around behind the Madison, and it was snowing, and it made me think of that scene. Kind of nice.
Oh, I have to agree with you.
Yeah, and it was wonderful because that suit is hot, the beard is itchy, and standing out in the cold felt pretty good. So, are you still running around checking Pokemon Go's? You catching any of those guys? See how that thing just disappeared?
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah.
As fast as it started.
We've talked a lot about some gift ideas for you for your avid gardener. Everyone enjoys getting plants as gifts, especially the ladies. Mm-hmm. And we have a Christmas cactus my mother gave Lisa and I.
Oh, it's a great plant.
And we always look forward to it finally showing its beautiful bloom. And they're just gorgeous plants. Tell me a little bit more about those.
Well, you know, what's interesting about the Christmas cactus, like you said, a lot of those have been passed down throughout the generations within the family. You know, I hear a lot of people say, you know, my grandma gave me a start or a piece of hers from years ago. And here it is. I still have it. Look how big it is, and it blooms profusely. Christmas cactus are really awesome, and it's a plant that it's somewhat interesting to say the least. And do you have any idea of its origin by chance?
My only guess has got to be from the Southwest or Mexico, Puerto Rico,
Brazil.
Yeah, I was going to keep throwing out names till you told me I was right.
Well, okay, keep throwing them out. But you know, it's a plant that. You know, it can live for many, many years and be passed down throughout the family. They can be family heirlooms. They're easy to start as well. You know, you just break off a segment of it, let it actually dry for a couple of days, then just barely place it in like a sandy soil or vermiculite, and all of a sudden, you know, wait it out, and it will eventually root. It'll take root. So, you know, relatively easy to take care of. Just don't keep them overly wet. And, you know, I always like to, you know, water the Christmas cactus a good drink and then let it go to the dry side.
Mm-hmm.
But they're wonderful this time of year. Most of them you'll see blooming this time of year. And after they're finished blooming, you know, you can move them to a sunny location indoors and just occasionally fertilize them with a houseplant type of fertilizer throughout the growing season. And you can get them to bloom again, you know, sometimes in the spring. But really, just move them outside if you, you know, can do that during the summer months. And don't put them in direct sunlight, somewhat of a little morning sunlight kind of situation with some afternoon shade. And you'll find that they'll do relatively well for you. But what really gets them to set bloom and take off are the lower temperatures and the shorter daylight hours. So typically, you know, bring them in from outside when I, you know, you can go down into the mid to upper 40s, but I always say like the 50s because that kind of starts kicking things off. And then keep them in somewhat of a, you know, an area where they get more darkness than light. And then all of a sudden you'll see them budding up and getting ready to set bloom for you.
Nice.
Great plant to have. That's you know, in addition to the poinsettia, you know, the Christmas cactus is a great gift or a great plant to take to somebody if you're visiting. Another little plant that's very interesting, too, and it's not one that blooms, is a little fern called the frosty fern. And it's got, it's a little fern type of plant with these light white, you know, like a yellowish variegated top or tips to it. And a lot of people gravitate towards those. They're very interesting. Huh. But I will say this, they like a little bit of moisture, so don't let them dry out on you. So the frosty fern is another one you might want to catch or find at your local garden center or nursery. And also one of my favorites, and I've never really tried to get this particular plant to come back, but that is a cyclamen. And one of my favorites, I always get one for the kitchen table every year.
Uh-huh.
And usually you can keep them in bloom through January, maybe even going into February if you're really good. And then all of a sudden it will start to yellow off a little bit and go through its cycle and start to shut down. But keep it in a cool place. It doesn't like a lot of heat. And what's really important as well with the cyclamen, when the blooms are spent, just be a little diligent about taking the stem out and twisting it at the base, and that encourages new blooms to come up from the inner part of the plant itself. The foliage on the cyclamen is one of my favorites. It's rather stiff, kind of stout, so to speak, just like the beer that John brought us this morning. Thank you, by the way, Johnny. A little Guinness action. But I love the foliage on the cyclamen, and very attractive, to say the least. And the cyclamen comes in a various in a number of colors. I always like to get the white. There's also like a red. There's a fuchsia. There's pink. So
when you described how you pinched that off, is that considered deadheading too?
Yes, it is. Thank you. It is considered, that's what we call deadheading. And instead of just leaving the stem and pulling the bloom off the tip, get down inside it and twist it out or cut it out.
And we feel like a snap, or is it?
Yeah, it'll work out.
Okay.
Yep, it'll work out. Almost as if you're deadheading a Gerber daisy.
Okay.
Gerbera, I should say. But that keeps the blooms coming. And like I said, keep it in a cool location, evenly moist. And two, you might find it, or if someone gives you one, it might be wrapped in a decorative foil. You need to provide for good drainage. That's so, so important.
Mm-hmm.
And a little tip, if the cyclamen gets dry on you and starts to wilt down, which you will notice easily, it's very obvious, give it a drink, take it out into a cool garage in the 40s, lie it on its side, just lay it on its side, and it will perk back up, and it looks just like it did before it got dry on you. I've noticed if you water them after they've gotten dry and wilt, they'll kind of carry on that appearance from that point forth. So if you take it outside into a cold garage, lay it on its side for about an hour or so, go back out and pick it up, something in the, you know, temperature in the 40s, you will notice you didn't miss a beat, and it will look just like it did before it got a little dry on
you. Wow, that's fantastic. So, and I guess your index finger is the indicator you're always looking for. If it's moist, kind of leave it alone. If it's dry, add a little water.
Yeah, you know, you don't want them to have too much water.
Right.
You know, that can cause some issues. And just a good drink, keep it evenly moist.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wonderful. Keep them in a cool place, just beautiful on the kitchen table.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have Brent and Todd from Bromwell's coming up. They're going to be joining us at 8 o'clock, and we're going to share a couple of things about fireplaces. But we do need to pause for a moment. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And while we were in the break, John brought up a very good point. A lot of you have picked up fresh cut trees, have had them in the house for a while. Give us a little update on what we should be looking for.
Sure. Water it. Make sure there's adequate water. Ours is still drinking water like a champ.
Uh-huh.
And interestingly enough, Tina uses a little wine bottle to water the tree. And I thought that's kind of clever because it's really hard to get underneath the tree with a pitcher of any sort and pour it. So the wine bottle, you just get right into the side and it comes right out. Ours is drinking almost two bottles worth a day.
And so you should check it every day?
Well, yeah. And you know, if you've had a tree, sometimes people will call up and say, you know, my tree's not drinking water. A couple of things, you know, maybe you didn't put a good enough cut on that tree. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, sometimes I've seen when you shave a tree all the way around the side and you just gnaw on it with a chainsaw, sometimes they won't drink water like they should. You know, so it's really, that's why it's important to make the necessary pruning cuts on a tree to get some of the lower branches off, do the right cut with a saw, a good sharp saw.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. Getting it in the tree stand, and most of us have already done this, and there are some people who wait till Christmas Eve to put up their tree. But, you know, don't allow it to sap over on the bottom. Usually 4 to 6 hours after you get the fresh cut put on a tree, that's when you want to get it in water in that time frame. But for the most part, you know, just don't leave your tree on unattended. Don't leave the house and go shopping with the tree on. That is both for a fresh cut tree and your artificial tree.
Now, what about those fresh wreaths and garland that you see everywhere? How do they keep those looking fresh or feeling fresh?
Well, a lot of times most of your garlands and your fresh wreaths are outside, so the cool temperatures help prolong its liveliness, so to speak. Also, you can spritz them with water. You can soak them in water. Then hanging them back up, let them dry in a shady place. Also, there are products that you can use that really helps prolong the freshness of your evergreens. And either one of these two products is they're both identical for the most part, is wilt proof or wilt stop. You know, those help with moisture retention. It's an anti-desiccant kind of product. They work extremely well. So those are some things that you can do. Also, when you get fresh greens, you know, we're still selling a lot of fresh greens. It's one of our mainstays, and, you know, it's always strong in sales, people buying various greens for the holiday season. You know, keep fresh cuts on your greens. Let them draw water. And if you're inside, you know, you can use the wilt stop or wilt proof products that helps refrain from brushing up or moving some of your greens around if they're up on the mantle or above the fireplace, because a lot of times that's when you start getting needle drop. So as long as you're not brushing up against things and shaking things up, you'll keep needle drop to a minimum. So there's a lot of things that you can do, and I love fresh greens. You want to get a great aroma inside the house.
Oh, yeah.
I love Port Orford cedar. And putting the fresh cuts on pine and so forth, it's when you put a fresh cut on it or you rub up, you know, you take your hand and rub along the greens, you kind of invoke those fragrances, those senses, you know, or your senses of getting that wonderful fragrance of what the greens can give you. Mm-hmm. So I love Carolina Sapphire, the Port Orford cedar, just even white pine, you know, it has that wonderful pine scent. Sometimes tuck some of those pieces into your artificial tree to get that scent as well. Now, our whole downstairs, Ernie, smells like pine.
Ooh,
love it. That Fraser fir.
Yeah.
You know, those are other, you know, nice cut greens too, the Fraser fir. But, you know, to get that pine scent, you know, those are things that you want to do, and it makes for a wonderful fragrance throughout the house. You don't always necessarily have to burn a candle. And you can buy a lot of things that are scented, you know, from a candle standpoint. And two, I want to caution you, burn, you know, be responsible about when you're burning those. Pay attention. Don't drink too much eggnog and forget that they're burning. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So, you know, it's just, you know, being cautious about some of those things. And when you leave the house, don't leave your tree on. When you go to bed, don't leave the tree on. And those are basically pretty much the only tips I can give you with that tree.
Yeah, speaking of eggnog, and I know you didn't get a chance to enjoy this, but Toria, a young lady who does the traffic for a radio station here, brought in some homemade eggnog bread, which was
sounds really good.
Absolutely delicious. It was awesome. And then she was kind enough to send out the this is around the table.
You got it.
And I'm going to get that to John so John can post it up on our Facebook page. You have got to try to do this and make this, and it is fabulous, and it'd be a perfect opportunity, especially this time of year, around the holiday season, to bake a little homemade eggnog bread and serve it up at your gathering.
So what else was in that bread? I mean, what was it primarily made with? Obviously eggnog. What else was in it? Do you remember or did
flour,
you taste it?
Sugar. All the good stuff. There was some spiced rum in it that baked away, you know, so it's not an alcoholic bread, but... some wonderful icing, and it was delicious. And she said there was some out there for everyone. And you know how I eat. I'd gone out and carved out a big slab and then had to send out a note that, oh, I didn't realize that was for everyone. So some people didn't get any.
I can see you doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I can see you doing it.
Eggnog is a weakness for me. I could drink it year round, so I try to do as little damage as possible. But Lisa brought home a quart of it the other day. It didn't see the light of day.
Speaking of eggnog, my mom loved eggnog.
She really
did. But I when you said that eggnog, I immediately thought of Christmas Vacation and Uncle Eddie. Sipping on the eggnog with the little mousse or
the reindeer cups.
It was killing me.
Yeah.
And he was wearing that nasty white, real tight sweater with a dicky underneath it. And there's green action slacks and there's white hard shoes. Oh, I love that scene. When you said eggnog, that's immediately
what popped in your mind.
Yeah. You have a favorite Christmas movie?
Several of them. Bad Santa.
I would think that.
But A Christmas Story is certainly one of our favorites, and we'll start watching them nonstop here next week. Of course, It's a Wonderful Life, White Christmas, all the classics.
That's my wife's favorite. It's a Wonderful Life. Now she's a Jimmy Stewart fan.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of people like Jimmy Stewart.
I love Clarence, the actor that plays Clarence is hilarious.
Good stuff.
Now, I do also want to share this. I got the laughing, when we had that little dusting of snow last week, someone posted a meme which made me laugh very hard and loud. And it had a picture of a snowflake, and it was making fun to that reference in the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, where he said, whenever you hear a bell ring, that means an angel's got its wings. Mm-hmm. And the meme was a snowflake, and it said, in Cincinnati, whenever you see a snowflake, several people forget how to drive. So it kind of was great and poignant and timely. 749 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. Go to our Facebook page. We'll have that recipe up in just a few minutes for some eggnog bread. We absolutely love it when we start getting snowfall and we don't have anywhere to go and get the fireplace roaring there at the house, and just fabulous sitting around there.
I love that Dean Martin stuff. I feel like sometimes, Ernie, I grew up in the wrong era. That old time stuff like that, those were the days. These guys would come out on stage with a highball, and a cigarette, and they just had a good old time up there. What do you remember?
I do. Yeah.
Now, I know you're not I'm not a smoker, but it was just, whatever happened. Those are just good days. I liked it.
No truer words spoken.
And, the old roasts, those were hilarious, too. You'd see Phyllis Diller up there, Don Rickles, and all those good old people.
And I guess it is because of our age and those fond memories. You don't hear anyone doing new Christmas music that sticks around, Those classics are awesome. You might hear something every once in a great while, but they wind up remaking them over and over and over again, which is okay. But that's one of our favorites. Lisa said something last night, and poor girl's been going through an awful lot with Mammy and Pappy's health and having to tend to them and take care of her mother and father-in-law. And matter of fact, we had to send Mammy to the hospital on Thursday night. She had surgery yesterday, and Lisa's been dealing with that and been gone and on the hospital and or at the hospital, and finally came home after they got her in a room and got her to sleep, and she sat down on the couch, and I had the fire going, and she just said, I can't tell you how great this feels right now.
Oh,
I
mean, sure.
It's on the couch by the fireplace.
And, you know, and you just hit the nail on the head. You know, it's that relaxing feeling that we get when we're at home. That's that's the environment. That's the mood we want to create. And we're going to create that in the 8 o'clock hour with our good friends from Bromwell's.
Yes.
We're going to talk about fireplace designs and what you need to know and the differences between vented fireplaces and ventless fireplaces and all that good stuff. And, you know, Bromwell's is not just about fireplaces either. When we did our little trip down there, it was a couple months ago, I was taken back by just going up to the second floor and so forth and taking in all the design elements. You know, they had furniture and they saw lighting and they saw a lot of other different things. And I was really surprised. So they've reinvented themselves in addition to, you know, the what they've been known for a number of years, but they do a lot of other stuff that's very, very interesting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to creating that mode or that feeling or that mood that you're talking about by the fireplace, nothing more cozier than that.
Yeah.
And I know you guys enjoy fires because you talk about them often. And, you know, the other thing, too, I also want to say is that I wish, you know, Mammy, you know, the best, because I know she was just went through that operation, mm-hmm. and those things aren't easy to go through, especially during this time of year.
Right.
But
right.
It's one of those things that time heals all those wounds.
Sure it does. Well, yeah. Hopefully so. But
yeah, it will.
You struck a chord there. I can't wait to hear what Brent and Todd
mm-hmm.
from Bromwell's share with us, because fireplace is a big selling point in a lot of homes. And tragically, back in the day, there was a, you know, where people were convinced that they weren't energy efficient and there wasn't any reason to keep them. A lot of them got boarded up and covered mm-hmm. over. And it'd be nice if you're going to rehab your house, if there is a fireplace in the house that you can recondition. We can, Bromwell's is going to show us how we can do that efficiently, effectively, and you can get that warmth back in a home.
And, you know, I have one big question for those guys. It's like when I'm driving around, I see new subdivisions going up and so forth. A lot of times I notice that I don't see any outside chimneys or fireplaces or anything of the sort, or I see these, like, half kind of units with some sort of a vent pipe coming out that looks really cheesy to me, and I don't mean any disrespect. You know, what's happened with fireplaces? Because that was the hub of the home.
Yeah.
You know, we cooked around those fireplaces, and it creates that ambiance. And I think there's some things we need to find out about that, to say the least.
Yeah, I have to tell you that I've been in the house for a long, long time and had one of those instances where you get a chance to go use something that you thought was a pleasant little, amendment to the house or advantage to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't been in the house more than a week. It was the middle of winter, and the transformer went out. The electric went out. The furnace was gone. And so I got up, went down, built fires in both fireplaces. Our house was nice and toasty and warm for days to come. We didn't care whether or not
that's one important thing.
The electric, you know, came back on.
You're right. We've been accustomed to really the electric and nothing really happening with the electric grid here in the Cincinnati area. It's very, very reliable, but you never know. You know, that could become a situation where it's knocked out and you're without power for a while. So definitely having a fireplace is a nice heat source.
Yeah.
You know, so even with natural gas, you know, that never goes out.
No. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to welcome our new friends and new sponsors from Bromwell's. Brent and Todd are going to be joining us, but we're going to continue to get some things geared up for you for the holiday season. We are in the thick of it. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And traffic may have been awful for the most part overnight because of some freezing rain and drizzle. But as temperatures warming up, that should be a little bit better for everyone. Look for a high today around 53. So whatever did freeze is going to dissolve and melt away.
Incredible. You know, we just have those fluctuations with the temperature. We go from one extreme to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Only here in a tri-state. That's all I can say. It'll turn cold again. Respectfully so. But just to go from like three above the other day to upper 50s today, that's insane.
Yes, it is. We're getting you ready for the holiday season and all the gift giving you have coming up. And we're going to touch base on a couple of ideas about, you know, the avid gardener in your family, the person who enjoys being out in the back, working in the garden or in the landscape bed. And Tony's got some great ideas about what you could do to make their Christmas a little more designed or inclined to be gardening.
Oh, Ernie, a lot of things. You know, we always talk about the hand pruners and so forth, which we will again. But when we're talking to Denny, you know, our bird man over there on the west side.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't mention either, you know, a bird bath for somebody in the family that likes to enjoy bird watching. Bird feeders, bird houses, those are the kind of things that you can put out now. And if you do the bird feeder, make sure you have a one of those bird, the bird bath heater, I should say. I said feeder. I meant the bird bath heater for the bird bath. So you don't want water to freeze in that and crack it. But those are great gifts. The rain gauge, as Denny mentioned, that's a great gift, great stocking stuffer. And going back to the hand pruners, the bypass pruners, if you really want to buy a quality, top quality hand pruner, look for Felco, F-E-L-C-O. It's one of the best pruners you can get on the market. And also, if you're going to purchase a Felco hand pruner for your gardening friend, the avid gardener, you know, search out the holster as well, because it's so important. You're not always, you know, just putting aside or laying aside your pruners. That holster, you always have those pruners on your side, so that's really, really important. And also, gardening books, you know. We've mentioned it many, many times in the past. The Well-Tended Perennial Garden by Tracy DeSabato Ost is a top seller. It's been a top seller for a number of years. A lot of great information in there about perennials if you like the perennial garden. Also, succulents. You can get the books on succulents, vegetable gardening, and so forth. Wonderful gifts. Along with magazines, you know, I always like to thumb through magazines, especially during the winter months. You get great ideas for things that you can do in the upcoming spring season and summer months. Horticulture magazine's a great subscription. Fine Gardening. And two of my favorites, the Ohio Gardener and the Kentucky Gardener. So you'll read about a lot of interesting things here locally. And the beauty of that is, as well, is that there's a lot of people locally that write articles in those two magazines. So a lot of relevant and pertinent information. So those are great gift items as well. And if you're really not sure what you want to get the avid gardener in the family for the holiday season, you can always resort to a gift card from their favorite garden center or nursery, or maybe a couple of different gift cards throughout the tri-state area. A lot of wonderful local businesses in the tri-state that offer beautiful flowers and trees and shrubs throughout the growing season. So you never can go wrong with the gift card. What do you think?
I think
is
it's
that
the best.
Right on your list?
Yep. You know, and a lot of people kind of frown upon that a little bit, but that gives the person that got the gift card the freedom to go get something that they really like.
Yeah. You know? Sometimes, have you ever gotten a gift from somebody? It's like, yeah, hey, thank you. But,
Seinfeld did a whole episode on that.
Yeah.
Re-gifting.
Re-gifting. Yes. It's like the, thank you. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. I already have one of those. Or,
sure.
But
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Our guests have arrived from Bromwell. We're going to get them situated. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some fireplaces and other great things available down there and a little history of their business. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Brent and Todd from Bromwell is joining us now. We're going to talk a little bit about fireplaces, but an awful lot of great gift ideas and cool things available down there. And I know you were listening on the way in. My wife Lisa and I have two wood burners in our house. We've been in the house for 30 years. They're original to the home built in 1961. love that feel. And every time someone comes through the door at the house during the winter, the first thing they go is, oh, a fireplace. And they'll go right over and stand right next to it. And there's no more welcoming thing in a home for me as that fireplace. And Tony has one of your products in his house. And this is how detail-oriented he is, or hyper-organized. Well,
sometimes. I'm more organized than others. And actually, last night, I have a couple binders and folders, and I keep all my manuals and so forth in those. And
yeah, there was another word I was looking for, but I didn't want to use.
Yeah, like the derriere side. Yeah. There you go. You know, that's not necessary, Ernie. But I ran across the original receipt when I purchased my gas log fireplace from Bromwell's back in 1992. I've had that log set for a number of years, and I know you guys are all about quality. And I remembered I purchased those from a gentleman named Bill Foster. Yes. And it's been a great set, and I still have it. I don't have any cracks or splits in those ceramic logs. It looks just as good today as it did back then. I even bought the in-floor valve and so forth. But are you finding that more homeowners, and Ernie burns wood, I'm the natural gas guy, and it's got that real look. And my friend just recently purchased a gas log set from you guys a couple months ago. But are you finding the trends? Do more people burn wood, or are they doing a little of both, the gas sets or the electric sets? Where are we? What's trending?
I would say the gas is taking over the wood burning, but anyone that grew up with a wood burning fireplace, they still really want that real look. Mm-hmm. The gas logs have come a long way, to be realistic, and so I think that's leaning a lot of people. They come in, it's an easy thing to do, turn it on, run it for 5 minutes or 5 hours, shut it off and walk away. And so they don't want to deal with a mess. I'm finding a lot of chimneys now that are not capable of burning wood, but they can convert to gas. And so that's really pushing a lot of people over to the gas
side. That makes sense. You know, is there things that homeowners should be aware of if they're doing new construction, or if they're remodeling a home or an existing fireplace? Are there some things that you would point out, or some tips that you would give the homeowner, that things they need to look for or think about when they're doing anything of the sort?
When the customer comes into our store, we try to really find out what their goal is. And sometimes it could be wood burning. It could be just a gas log set, or a high-efficiency gas direct vent system. So we try to, every customer that comes in, we try to really dial in what they need. And every application is different, and every customer is different in what they're looking for. Some of our most popular products are not popular for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we try to carry a wide range to help them out.
What Tony pointed out, and I wanted to touch base on this, because we do have a lot of questions for you, and I've been checking out your website, bromwells.com. Tell us a little bit about your history. You guys have been around for quite some time.
Yeah, almost.
Bring us up to speed.
Almost 200 years.
Wow.
And, you know, things have certainly changed a lot in 200 years. But 1819, Jacob Bromwell founded a company that his vision really was to make products for people heading west. Mm-hmm. He was making products, brushes, wire goods, things that were going to make the lives of these pioneers better and simpler. Mm-hmm. And even though the company has certainly evolved in 200 years, and we're not doing brushes and wire goods anymore, although you can see a little reference to those in the store, the thing that hasn't really changed in 200 years is the commitment to quality, great products, and really to making sure the products that we sell and present to our customers, like Jake was doing, are things that are going to make people's lives easier, better, just these wonderful experiences. You know, they were doing it 200 years ago for people who were embarking on a journey. We're doing it now for people who want to make their homes more special and more meaningful. And like you mm-hmm. hit on, just those great memories and those great feelings when you walk into a space and see a fire burning in a fireplace. So the commitment to the quality and to really seeking out what people need hasn't changed in 200 years.
Right. And so how did you transition into to fireplaces and fire services?
Again, sort of a...
The need, I guess.
Evolution, I think, yeah. Somewhere back, way back in the history, the Bromwell family sort of went a couple of different directions. One manufacturing arm continued, and one went more into to retail and selling fireplace accessories that kind of grew out of some of the things that they were selling for those early pioneers, and then changed hands to the Gerwe family, and they were stewards of the brand for many years. And like Todd said, Gary still comes in and works on Saturdays. He's like our little link to the past, and, sure. And we're really lucky to have that. Went through a couple of generations of the Gerwe family, and then in 2005 changed hands again. And at that point in time, I think is when Todd and the new owner really looked at where the industry was going and where just where trends were going in the marketplace, especially with direct vent fireplaces, vent-free fireplaces, new construction, and really being able to tap into that, still building on that heritage of great fireplace accessories and things for the hearth, but not being so focused just on sure. The accessories for the hearth and really looking more at the fireplace as a whole.
Right.
And
You just touched on something there. During the early part of the company's career, the fireplace was the only heating source in the house, in the home.
Yes.
And a lot of people like to reference the kitchen as the heart of the house where everybody comes to whenever you have anyone over. For us, it's that fireplace.
Right.
And that's something we don't ever want to give up. But the reason I brought that up is, when the boys were there, it was so much easier cutting, splitting, stacking the firewood. And I always give my wife, Lisa, credit. She does an awful lot of the hearth stocking. I had this conversation earlier in the fall with, we've got enough to get through the winter this winter. And I don't know how many more winters we're going to be up for doing this. And when Tony met you guys, I think he came down to the shop a couple of months ago, and he was telling me about it. We went back and said, there's going to be a time when we're going to want to convert one, if not both, of these fireplaces. Do you find that there are people that want to still have that fire, but don't? And you mentioned the mess. I mean, as much as we love that fireplace, neither one of us look forward to going out there ankle deep in snow going, we got to bring some more wood in. Is that happening a lot?
I would say when you have multiple fireplaces in a home, a lot of people are keeping one as a wood burning, just for that reason. They don't have to burn it every night. The gas logs they can. Yesterday I was at a homeowner's house that converted one of their fireplaces to gas, and she said she probably used that a couple times a year. She uses it every night because it's the simplicity of it. But she kept one of them wood burning for when they want to do the wood fire. So I think that passion is still there for the wood burning.
Well, we've got a ton more questions for you guys, and we want to visit, too, some of the design work you do. But we have Brett and Todd from Bromwell's with us this morning talking about fireplaces, a great business, been approaching 200 years.
Yes.
And we're always telling you to shop locally. 67 cents of every dollar you spend locally stays in the local economy. But we need to pause. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back.
Been an awful
welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Brent and Todd from Bromwell's joined us this morning to talk about a lot of their great products and services. But before we get any further, let's get a little contact information for you. Where you're located, how can people reach you?
We're down on 4th Street, 117 West 4th Street between Race and Elm. We are there Monday through Saturday, 9 until 5. Right now we're doing extended hours on Thursday until 7 p.m., for people to drop by, ask questions, do a little Christmas shopping. We'll continue that on into the first of the year as we're sort of in the fireplace season.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find us online at bromwells.com.
Yeah, I've been spending a little time here checking out your page and loaded with information and great ideas. And I know my wife, who listens to us every day, is probably on it right now, too, checking out some things because, as I mentioned, we have two beautiful fireplaces at our house. And absolutely love them. They are the center of the heart of the house, as you mentioned. And a lot of people make mistakes, some new construction mistakes that you want to avoid. But, Tony?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think about you guys. When Katie and I made our visit a couple of months ago, you have transitioned and evolved into a number of things, and the upstairs is now open. And when I was, you know, when I first came in downstairs, you know, I remembered the fireplaces and the displays and so forth being there. And you guys are the experts, and it's awesome to know that you've been around for almost 200 years. You're the experts, and you're still here in the Cincinnati area. And you are the go-to guys. And if I were, you know, an existing homeowner, and I want to revamp or remodel an older fireplace, or if we're a young couple and we're building a new home and the fireplaces just aren't what they were back then, what advice would you give to us? You know, Todd, what would that be? Take us through the whole process there.
As far as existing fireplaces, a lot of people 20, 30 years ago, that's when the prefab fireplace came into play. The masonry fireplace, mm-hmm. they were still being built. But a lot of these homes got these metal boxes. Louvers, very dated looking today, a lot of brass. So people, it's a high demand of either switching them out or making them look like they're updated today. One of the simple things we can do with the prefab fireplace is a refacing door. And it is simply an entire front that goes over top of the existing fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
And with a small amount of money, we can make it look like it was a new fireplace. As long as it's in good working condition, that's really a great option to do. If it has been damaged anyway, then we really go in. One of our big part of our business is to demo that fireplace and reconstruct it and bring it back to a current state. And a lot of people are doing that. And one of the reasons those prefab fireplaces from 20 years ago, they're very inefficient. You can feel some heat coming off of them, but they're really, you're losing more heat than you're gaining at that point. So once we're really moving to the direct vent fireplaces, they are sealed systems.
Mm-hmm.
But a sealed system actually produces more heat than an open system. And a lot of people don't realize that. So that's what we're really converting the existing home to. New home builds, there's a big problem in the industry. A lot of people do not pay attention to that fireplace that's being put in. There's so many selections they have to make from point A to point B. And once they get in the home, they start to use the fireplace and realize that, boy, this sure isn't the quality what I thought I was getting with the rest of the home. And we are finding that even homes that are a couple years old, we are taking out those fireplaces and updating them. So if you are building an addition or a new home from mm-hmm. start, really pay attention to what is being put into that house as far as fireplace goes. It's going to be built in. It's a big production to tear that out and start all over again. So to catch it in the rough framing stage is the best way to go about
that. Yeah, I've noticed like in some of the newer subdivisions, you don't see the existing chimney fireplace, the one where we're accustomed to seeing on the outside of the home. It's like a box with siding on it with a galvanized vent out of it. And is that basically it?
That's it. Yeah, it is a big savings on the building side, but aesthetically, and usually once you see the fireplace that was put in,
mm-hmm.
it is less expensive than your refrigerator. And people don't realize that. They think they're getting a nice fireplace.
Wow.
And they don't know till it's too late.
I don't know. Tell us a little bit about the, you know, you were talking about the vented units and the vent-free units. What's the real difference there?
Vented gas logs are going to give you the most realistic look, large flame. You can move the logs around. You're going to get some carbon buildup, which actually looks like a soot on a real fire.
And that's what I have.
Exactly. Yes. You have a vented set of logs. They're not real heat producers because they're kind of like a wood fireplace. Although you'll feel heat from them, you're mm-hmm. actually losing more heat than you're producing.
Oh, the upstairs gets cold. Eh?
Exactly.
I lose a lot of heat.
So a lot of people still opt to those. We mm-hmm. we sell quite a few sets a year just because they want the aesthetic and not really concerned about the heat because maybe their home's very efficient already. Vent-free, you have to be careful with. Most of the time we sell vent-free, we tell people run them for an hour and a half, 2 hours at the most. If you go more than that, you really should open a window or something to bring in some more fresh air. Vent-free are being oversold as this great heating source. It's not a radiant heat. It's more of a gravitational heat. So you won't feel it like the old fire. Big difference there. Be careful putting them in basements. You really need a lot mm-hmm. of fresh air for these things to run. So we're really careful about when we sell those. Most cases, it's a chimney that's been abandoned. You can't recapture the venting anymore, so we go with the vent-free.
Interesting. Now, do you provide any services at Bromwell's for people like myself or anyone as far as that goes like to come out and just do a generalized check or like a tune-up to make sure that everything's working properly?
Yes.
Are there things that we need to be aware of? Like myself, with my unit, I've never really done anything. I've always checked it to make sure that I don't have any gas leaks before I use it each year.
Well, you're about 19 years past due, I think, on the service. as any product the manufacturer wants you to do an annual service. With your set of logs, a good example, you get a lot of carbon buildup. The embers start to dissipate, and there's sand underneath there.
Probably
never seen the sand.
Mm-hmm.
That sand can get moisture and get packed down, so the flames actually are probably not as tall as they could be. So we do recommend once, if you use it a lot, once a year, maybe once every 3 years, to have us come out. We'll do a cleaning service. We take all the logs off, clean them up, replenish the embers.
Really? Okay.
Break that sand up or replace it if needed, and we can get that set to look almost like the day you bought it. It's very possible.
Interesting. No, you know, my wife was, we were talking about you guys coming in the other day, and she's like, we need a new set of logs. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Mr.
I'm all about
alligator arms is going, oh, no.
Yeah, alligator arms. Oh, we're not going to do that. But you were talking about the glowing embers. That looks so real. It's like, what is that product? It's like an insulation of some sort?
Little metal fibers.
Yeah.
Little metal fibers. But they dissipate. You should have seen that they're kind of getting really thin now over time. That set that you have purchased is a set that we still sell today. We sold them for about 70 years, the Peterson set. They have a lifetime warranty on those logs.
Wow.
And I have been in this business for 20 years, and I got to tell you, I've hardly ever seen any of them break or crack. It's amazing how well they're
doing. I was telling you at the beginning of the segment here that they look, I don't have any splits in them or cracks in them or anything like that, so they've held up really well. And proof in the pudding right there. You get what you pay for.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I love the fact you guys have quality down there. You really do. And, Brent, I want to talk about an element that you brought into play, because when we first walked in there the other day, a couple months ago, Katie and I was taken by just, we meandered upstairs and so forth, and the other new elements that you brought into Bromwell's, the furniture, the lighting, and all the accessories, is really... really something awesome. And we're going to take a quick break, but when we come out of the break, I want you to touch on that and tell us, you know, how that's evolved and where it's going and how it's been.
Sure.
In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, we have Brent and Todd from Bromwell's Inn. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back.
To you.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have our friends Brent and Todd in from Bromwell's. And make sure you jump onto our Facebook page. You can connect right to their page, bromwells.com. And they are at 117 East 4th Street, or West 4th Street. West 4th Street. And been in business almost 200 years. And this is just a fabulous opportunity for you to make some new discoveries. And as Tony was talking, he wants to bring up the fact that it's not just fireplaces. I've been cruising through your website. There's furniture, gift accessories, mantles, shelves, wall decor, so much more.
Some really neat stuff. Like I said, I was really taken. I was surprised that you've transitioned and evolved into not just being this fireplace business, but you've encompassed that as well with a number of other things. You know, there's accent pieces, the lighting, you know, the Thomas Edison look is really big, and the sofas and so forth, the leather sofas and the fabric. You know, take us into Bromwell's and tell us a little bit more about what you've done upstairs.
Sure. Well, like I mentioned, you know, back before we changed hands from Gurwee to McClory, there still was a lot of fireplace accessories and gifts and accessories. I think there used to be billboards around town, you know, if it's brass, it's from Bromwell's. And Bromwell's used to have a lot of that little gifty type stuff. And then when the focus of the business sort of shifted to more of a fireplace business, we really kind of got away from that. But in the last few years, We've seen a couple of factors come into play that really pushed us into that decision. One, just looking at the residential market that's growing downtown. Mm-hmm. The fact that we have a huge community that we can tap into, bringing some really amazing products, some really cool design to a market that right now is fairly underserved on the home side. And also it allows us to to build relationships with people that down the road can become these great fireplace relationships.
Right.
We're seeing a lot of times in the urban market, there's renters, you know, even on our own street, who are renting an apartment who may not be a fireplace customer right now because where they are, they can't add a fireplace. They can't really do anything with it.
Right.
But they come in, they see this amazing product. They see these great, like you said, furniture pieces or gifts and accessories, and they want to be a part of that Bromwell's lifestyle, that aesthetic, and they can buy those pieces and sort of begin that relationship mm-hmm. now, knowing that maybe in 5-10 years, they might move into a place. They might move into a house further out. They might move into a condo downtown, and we're already a part of their life. They already know about us, right. And so it's just this great relationship builder as well. And also, we really wanted to create just a whole multi-sensory experience, something where people walk in, and especially with fireplaces, like Todd mentioned a few minutes ago, it's an investment. You really want to make sure you're making the right decision, and you hit on in that first segment, you get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that people realize we're finding and presenting best-in-class product, and it may cost more than other things you can find out there, but it's going to last, it's going to perform better. But we feel one of the ways that we help people envision that in their home is to create that total environment. So you walk in, and we really strive to not be sort of that typical old school fireplace store that you walk right. in. There's mm-hmm. maybe a wall of 42 gas logs all lined up, or you know, just 22 tool sets. You know, which shade of brass do you want? Yeah. We want people to be able to walk in, and instead of just seeing stuff, we want them to see a lifestyle. And it's a lifestyle that is really built around the idea of the hearth being the center of the home. Speaking back to a time when maybe the hearth and the fireplace was the primary heat source, we've certainly evolved, and the fireplace isn't necessarily needed for heat. It's not serving as much of a functional purpose. Mm-hmm. It's really an aesthetic purpose. And the furniture, the gifts, the accessories, everything that we seek out really comes back into sort of that aesthetic, to where it feels like that time when a fireplace really was the center of the home. And that's why we've really evolved in these last few years to bringing a lot of that product right. on to help people envision this product in their home.
I think you've done a great job with that, because things were set up just as you stated. It wasn't that all of your accessories were all in a line or in a row, and all the fireplaces that were there from A to Z, or from the high price point to the low price point. It was all integrated in such a way. It made you feel that lifestyle. It made you feel like, I want my living room or our dining room to look like this. And it captivated me. It really did. And you have some of those items that bring in that industrial look as well, which I still think is a strong trend right. in indoor design, is it not?
It is, yeah. And again, it comes back to that sort of aesthetic time yeah. period that we pull back from, that industrial influence. There's some amazing pieces in the store that are product, and some are just props that are actually pieces that we have found in the store, in the sub-basement, in the basement, on the sixth floor, from this amazing building that we've been in, that bring again sort of that right. authenticity of a urban sort of industrial feel, but then also tempering it with a little more elegant, refined feel. So there you'll find European antiques mixed with Edison light bulbs.
Right.
You'll find a more urban industrial inspired sort of steampunk table base next to a tufted velvet sofa with brass nail heads. It's the Bromwell's aesthetic is really all about combining so many influences and time periods into something that's really
what I
special.
Liked about it. It's somewhat eclectic. A lot
Very
of things.
Eclectic.
Yeah, it complemented one another. It doesn't have to be a certain period all the way throughout.
Right.
And you did a great job. Where did you get that old display ladder up in the window?
That's more things that have been found in that building. You know, when you're in a building that I think Bromwell's moved into, 117 West 4th Street, in the early 60s.
It's been about 60 years.
So, you know, you inherit this building that has, even before we moved in mm-hmm. In the 60s, has probably, you know, 80 years of history before we even started
sure.
it.
Right.
And one half of our building was an office company and printing company. So we've, down in the basement, there's old drying racks from signs, and we found an old lithography table that we use in the store.
Cool.
So yeah, there's these amazing finds that when you just look at things with sort of a fresh set of eyes, and that's what's kind of funny. When I came on board about 3 years ago, there are things that probably the previous ownership, when you live with this stuff day in, day out, you just take it for granted. Oh, yeah. That's that old shop ladder that's stuck up on the third floor.
There's no use for that.
It's right. And you look at it with a different focus, and it's like, right, that's cool as a ladder, but it's amazing as a bookshelf.
Sure.
And that's what, from a design standpoint, we really want people to do from the fireplace all the way through the whole home. Just look at all the things that are around in your home and take the cues from the home. And let that factor in.
I enjoyed it. Katie and I strolled through the upstairs area. It just took our time. And as a matter of fact, there was a chair that I like to have a couple of. And I also noticed that, and kudos to you guys for this, a lot of the fabrics and so forth that you're using with various types of furniture comes from Ohio. So you're keeping it local. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. One of our main upholstery manufacturers is based here in Ohio, actually right up in Northern Ohio in Norwalk, Ohio. And it just underscores the type of relationships that we look to build as a company. A lot of our fireplace product is manufactured here in the U.S. or in North America. Todd mentioned in the last segment, doing like a reface for your fireplace. That's a great product manufactured for us by a company here in the U.S. They're down in North Carolina. And the upholstery, again, is finding these companies who have compelling stories, like Norwalk, that is a factory in Northern Ohio that several years ago was on the verge of shutdown, and the community sort of banded together, and some investors from the community sort of bought themselves out of bankruptcy to save that industry, to save that town. And those are the type of compelling relationships that we like, where the product is great, the aesthetic is great, but there's also a story behind it. And it really sort of feels like we're building that Bromwell's family, both with our customers and with our suppliers.
You know, there was something that caught my eye when we walked in, and we talked about it before we left for that last break. You had the men that are they're heavy and they're rappelling on like rope.
Yeah, we have the climbing men. Right now, they're sort of scaling the wall by the elevator, so it's kind of a little play on visuals, I guess. But yeah, that's the kind of thing that we often look for, things that are unique and different. And we try to be elegant and refined, but never take ourselves too seriously.
You know, and something else I have to comment on, because, you know, my wife and I, when we're talking about the interior of our home, typically, you know, guys just like, oh, I don't care, I'm outside, you're inside. But I'm here to tell you, I want to have some influence with what goes on inside. And I don't want it to be frou-frou kind of stuff. You know, I also want that masculine part of it integrated into what Tina likes as well.
Right. Well, aesthetically, you know, we've always looked at the idea that the fire is sort of inherently masculine.
Right.
There's something kind of primal about it, like chopping wood, throwing it on, burning something.
Yeah.
And so that influences even our design decisions. But we also realize, you know, there's two parties living here a lot of times. So we try to find that blend between sort of a masculine side and a feminine side, something that's a little softer, but like I said, isn't throwaway. You know, there's more, again, sort of an authenticity to it.
I was taken, and I encourage anyone who has a moment during the weekend, or even, I don't know if you're open, you know, with late hours during the week, stop in and see what you guys have to offer. I mean, I was glad. It was warming. It was very inviting, and I was so glad that we stopped by. It was just, I used to work downtown, and, you know, occasionally I would stop by, and just as you said a moment ago, it was brass. You guys sold a lot of brass, you know. It's totally different today, and it meets a lifestyle.
Right.
And I think that's where things are trending.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have our friend Brent and Todd from Bromwell's in with us. You can check out their page, bromwells.com. You can also stop by and see them, 117 West 4th Street downtown. And the phone number is 513-621-0620. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some outdoor fireplaces or fire opportunities and more decorating things. And I got another text from another friend, listener, about the liners. A question about that, too. We'll talk to you when we come back.
Dressed up like
welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Brent and Todd with us from Bromwell's. You can go to bromwells.com, stop by and visit them, 117 East or West 4th Street downtown. Don't know why I have East on my mind, but we were talking about a couple of different things about the fireplaces, and Tony's going to stop down and buy more poo-poo stuff. And
I don't think masculine is your cool stuff.
I'm not going to let you live that down. No. But I've been checking out your websites, just full of great ideas, and I did receive a text from a friend of mine, and one of the things on your site is services. So when people have questions about existing fireplaces, old homes, you can give them some good sound advice. His question was, what about a liner? And there's an old chimney in a home that they were told they couldn't get cleaned because it didn't have a liner. What if someone calls you with a similar issue or question about that? How do you tell them that?
There are many homes in the Cincinnati area, probably in the 80, 90-year range, that never had a liner. And although they burnt wood in them, they probably should not have.
Uh-huh.
A liner is needed, and it is possible to have a new stainless steel liner drop down in if there's enough room. That's something we can assist the customers in. We don't specifically do that work, but we have a couple recommendations that are quality companies that'll do the right thing for them. But there are a lot of times you can't get the proper size liner in there, because if the liner gets too small, it is not going to draw properly, and then you're just going to have more trouble at that point.
I gotcha. And the good thing about going through you is that the people you will recommend are reputable, and you can stand behind their advice and their work.
Yes, trust. We have two companies we recommend for that type of chimney work, and we trust them 100%.
So on your website, you see all kinds of ideas, wall decor, art, mantles, shelves, gift accessories. And we talk an awful lot about outdoor space and outdoor living on this show. And I noticed you have a thing about outdoor fireplaces. That has become very popular recently. Tell me a little bit about that.
The outdoor room has become another living room. We're seeing it just grow dramatically. It is a large a place where many people want to spend their time. Whether you have a pool or not, I'm seeing a lot of outdoor rooms just right off the back of the house. Two things people were doing with fireplaces out there is just a regular wood-burning fireplace, and they're doing fire pits, gas fire pits.
Mm-hmm.
I do see a lot of mistakes when these are set up. Most people complain about a wood fireplace not drawing properly, a lot of smoke out there.
Mm-hmm.
Normally it's because the fireplace was set too close to the home and the chimney is not high enough. There's a lot of these prefab kits out there that you'll see that you can buy the whole thing modular. They'll come and set it with a Bobcat, and it's done,
right.
Other than a few dressing points there. But most of those are not tall enough by code in order to draw properly. So we get a lot of calls. Hey, I just put this fireplace in. We're getting a lot of smoke out the front of it. And we'll come out and do a site visit, and it's either too close to the home or not tall enough chimney. And at that point, a lot of people are converting it to gas logs at that point. Unfortunately, they wanted the word wood burning, but it just wasn't done right. And these kits are being sold by a lot of companies that I don't honestly believe understand the right application for these products.
Yeah, that's where a lot of homeowners that we hear from, that's their number one concern, is trusting who they have come to their home and give them ideas or service work or sales.
And one thing with Bromwell's is there's not one employee that is on commission at Bromwell's. We're there to sell the right product for the right customer, and so there's no incentive for someone to really sell you a more expensive product. We want to get you the right thing, because I surely don't want you coming back and being upset with what we told you to do. So
you know what, that's a key point right there, is that they're not commissioned salesmen, and it's not their objective to say, well, I was called because you wanted to this, but I can make more money if I sell you something entirely different.
And it's just an you know, everything is based on sales and commission, as the majority of all salespeople are based on commission. But it's I downsell people a lot. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think they're spending their money wisely.
Good move.
You know, there's a lot to be said for that. And something else, too, is creating that positive experience. And you guys have certainly done that with me. And every year, especially at this time when we're burning our gas logs that are 24, 25 years old, it's quality. And even a friend of mine just recently, like I said earlier in the show or the segment, he just recently redid his house, fireplace, and purchased all the necessary stuff that he had needed for his gas logs. And he raved about your place. And we've been friends since the third grade, you know. And I like that. It's about the positive experience.
749 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have Doug and Brent and Todd with us from Bromwell's, and Doug on the line from Western Hills has a question for you. Hi, Doug. You wanted to ask about stoves?
Yeah. I have a home that has a wood-burning fireplace in it. And I was wanting to know if there was any way of maybe converting that into maybe like a pellet stove, or if they even made something like that.
Yeah, Doug, they do make I would probably recommend an insert that would slip into that fireplace, not a freestanding. It'll give you a nicer look. But there are pellet stoves and pellet inserts, and then also wood stoves, obviously, and wood inserts. So that is a good alternate to just an open wood-burning fireplace.
How old's the home, Doug?
It's about 17 years old.
Oh, relatively new then, right?
Right.
Did you build the house yourself?
No, we had a contractor build it.
Right. And so you're just unhappy with the heat? Or are you just, you want to do something different?
Well, I like the heat that it puts off. But if I was to get an insert, I would like to have something that had a fan on it, maybe to maybe blow the heat out. But it does put off a little heat, but I like to get a little bit more heat out of it.
Great.
Well, stop down and see Todd. Todd, do you have things that you can show him there at Bromwell's that he may be able to work with as an insert, or
yes,
any ideas?
We do the wood-burning insert. The pellet is a product line that we do not personally carry, and reason being is the pellets, and they do put out a nice amount of heat, but the maintenance, and you cannot skip any maintenance on those pellet stoves. They are one of the most complicated fireplace products out there, and I've spent years of listening to people at our National Hearth Show talk about all the service headaches that they have caused, and it's just due to improper pellets, not the quality pellets being burnt, and it's really nothing against the consumer. They just don't even know that they're buying an inferior product at that point. So we try to lean everybody to the wood burning. If you have access to wood, the wood burning insert's going to put out more heat. It's a beautiful looking fire when it's burning. The pellet looks kind of like a torch. So it is not aesthetically pleasing.
Right. Now, do you have to change the flue in your fireplace currently if you was to put an insert in it, or can you use the current one there?
If it's a masonry fireplace, when we install the wood insert, it's going to come with a 6-inch stainless steel liner wrapped in an insulation blanket. That will run all the way up through your chimney. And so we still need your chimney, but if it was not in great shape, it doesn't really matter. I just need the pathway to get our liner up through there.
Right. Okay, I understand. Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Make sure you go to bromwells.com. You can stop by and see them, 117 West 4th Street, and give them a call at 513-621-0620. And what a wealth of information. You know, we've often had people ask us about this. It's great to have a couple of experts come in and share some more information. And I can't tell you how thrilled we are with our fireplaces at the house, but we are one of those typical couples. We're beginning to age. The kids are grown and gone, have their own families, and now we have two beautiful wood-burning fireplaces, but we're starting to think of making a change to gas fireplaces. Now, one is downstairs in the family room. The other one is right above it. If you were going to suggest converting one of those, because I did like your point about most people like to keep one wood burner.
Yes.
Which one would you change?
I would change the one you would normally, probably the upstairs one at that point. One of the things, if you did convert it to gas, and I would only ask you to change one at this time, see how you liked it, and then down the road, maybe you do change
the
second one.
That's a really good point there, too.
And if you don't like it, they can be pulled back out, and you're not altering that fireplace to not be a wood-burning fireplace anymore. So you can go right back to the wood-burning if you really didn't like it. So
no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's wonderful information, because I was thinking, oh, if we made this conversion, then whether or not we like it, we're stuck with it.
You're not.
No kidding.
No, you're not stuck with it.
So how about access to the gas line? Is there a lot of I know you can't mention or can't describe that without seeing the house, but is there a lot of construction work involved in that, or do you find an easier path?
Normally, when you said you had a basement fireplace, that is a lot of times a difficult place to get a gas line to.
Okay.
Because it's typically completely underground. Mm-hmm. If it's a walkout access, then yeah, you can probably get a gas line to it. The first floor is the better shot to get a gas line to
it. Okay.
So that's a lot of times that kind of dictates which fireplace you would do.
Fantastic. I know I'll have a lot of these questions when I get home, because she listens every morning. And she sent me a text earlier that she's sitting right by the fire listening to us. And thank you guys so much for coming in. It's been fantastic. We certainly want to extend an invitation for you to come back and visit. And Tony, anything else before we...
No, I'm kind of anxious after the holiday season. I'm going to get with Tina, and I want her to see the place. I really do. I was taken. You guys have transitioned into a whole nother business type of entity, and it's just not only fireplaces, it's both fireplaces, mantles, hearths, and all the other interior design kind of elements that make that home nice and cozy, and the place where we want to go and relax after a long day at work, that's for sure. Great job, Brent. I was impressed, and I most definitely enjoyed my visit the last time I was there at Bromwell's.
Well, that's what we're hoping to create, and we look forward to seeing you.
You'll see me.
For your fufu.
He's coming down to buy more fufu stuff. Bromwells.com. Make sure you check them out. Give them a call, 513-621-0620, 117 West 4th Street. And have yourself a great holiday season in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We will talk to you again soon.